I'm Kevin.
And I'm Stephanie.
And during our marriage, we have dealt with an electrocution, a brain tumor, brain surgery.
Then doctors telling us that children were not in our future, followed by miscarriage, and then Kevin's cancer diagnosis.
However, today, we live a life completely healed and restored with three healthy children who doctors said were not possible. And we're here to tell stories that inspire, give hope, and brighten your day. Welcome to
Tell Us a Good Story.
This episode is being presented to you by Storyside Church, where your story matters. At Storyside Church, they believe God always writes a good story.
You can join them for church online each Sunday morning on their Facebook page or watch their entire library of prior services on their YouTube channel, Storyside Church.
All right, Steph. This is going to be so much fun.
He's like our trifecta the Ramsey personality group.
I love his personality.
I love it already.
Well, friends, our next guest is a Ramsey personality and personal finance expert. And he is the author of the new book titled Breaking Free from Broke. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Tell Us a Good Story, Mr. George Camel.
George is here.
Yes.
Thank you. Enough. Keep it going, but enough.
Well, first off, thank you for saying yes to us.
Can I start? I want a question.
Yes.
Or I have a question for you.
Okay.
We're entering Christmas season.
When we record this, yes.
Yes. And my husband has a very hard time during the season because everything's on sale. So George, he has a $150 budget to spend. Last year, he spent over $1,500 on himself.
Okay.
This feels more like marriage counseling than a financial question.
Right. He's been wanting to get this off her shoulders, right?
It's been bubbling for a year now.
I'm never going to see these prices the rest of the year, George.
Scarcity mentality, Kevin. That's how they get
you.
That first weekend, I'm like anything and everything. I'm like, okay, if your mom always comes to you and says, hey, I need an extra $30. I need an extra $50 or whatever. Do you have something for Kevin? I can give it to my wife and say, hey, here, give this to them, right? It's going to fit me. I'm going to love it. It's going to be perfect. However, last year, I just ordered a bunch of stuff. I didn't know what was going to fit me. Got my most favorite retailers. I asked Steph, okay, how much money do I have? Do you need from our parents and stuff? She's like, $150. George, I looked. I had spent like $1,500 that...
I was going to return it.
Baby bit.
So it's like, okay, I'm going to make some tough choices here. And I returned literally $1350 worth of merchandise to the store. But
yes, you did.
That's what I do. And it drives my wife crazy.
So I'm basically needing you to be like, Kevin, you don't need to do this.
Oh, like, I have never related more to Steph.
Really?
Oh, I am team Steph here. This happened with my wife. Okay, she went to Target. And she bought $500 worth of throw pillows. And she was like, hey, do we have room in the budget? I was like, no, we don't have a $500 throw pillow budget this month. And then she said these words that Kevin knows very well. Well, I'm going to return almost all of it.
Yes.
And so then you can't argue with that because she's going to return almost all of it. But then what do you do in the budget? You have this like financial conundrum of what happens this month until the money is returned and how much will she actually return. Then this is my favorite part. You guys relate to this. She comes home and she returns it. She goes, I made us $300 today. I returned the pillows. I went, you didn't make us money. You just spent a little bit less. So I totally understand. There's my first story of the day. And it's a classic marriage conundrum. There's always one that can justify the spending because of the return policy.
1,000%. That's what he does.
Yes.
But you guys need each other for balance.
I totally agree.
Yes.
Okay, so like you said, we've talked to the trifecta now, George. You're the third Ramsey personality that we've been fortunate enough to talk to. And of course, Dr. John Deloney and Jade, they've got amazing stories. Jade had like almost $500,000 of debt. So can you share the story of like when you started in 2013, the amount of debt you had, right? And can you share your debt story with us?
Absolutely. So I had followed the classic path that we were told. My parents were immigrants. They came from the Middle East in the 80s, from Egypt and Syria. I was born here stateside as a first-generation American. And so what do? They want a better life for the kids. So you got to get the education, you know, very much about getting the good grades and getting into the college of your dreams. What I didn't know is that the college of my dreams cost $200,000. And apparently we didn't have that kind of money. But my parents were kind of just like, well, we'll figure it out. You know, we got this. I was like, wow, they must have some secret trust fund set up for me. This is amazing. And I chose a different school because I knew going $200,000 into debt for a film degree, even as a knucklehead, you know, 17-year-old, I was like, this probably isn't going to pan out. Like, I am not, right. I'm not quite Scorsese over here. So, like, let's not pretend. So I ended up going to a state school. And still, over the course of the next 4 years, I racked up $36,000 of student loan debt. And a lot of that was, I didn't really understand how it worked. You know, you go to the guidance counselor and they go,
right.
Look at this financial aid package that involves loans at a yes. better interest rate. And you're like, okay, I guess I'll take that. And then there's the parent plus loans. And all of a sudden, you wake up as a graduate going, I got 11 loans or $36,000. My minimum payments are $400 and rent is this much. And I couldn't breathe. And so I was living on right. credit cards. And I had my Sky Miles American Express card that was a huge blessing to my life, getting those Sky Miles as a broke guy who couldn't even afford to travel. And I woke up one day going, this can't be it. I was frustrated. I was anxious. Mm-hmm. I was stressed. And I went, I was lied to by so many people in my life, by society, by the guidance counselors, by well-meaning parents and people in my life. And I needed a change. I knew my plan wasn't cutting it, and I couldn't continue this way. And so luckily, I found Dave Ramsey. I got an internship here as a bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, broke 23-year-old. And that began the journey. I went through Financial Peace University as part of onboarding. I deprogrammed all these money myths that I had come to believe. I started to have some hope that I could actually get rid of this debt in my lifetime. And so over the course of 18 months of side hustling and lean cuisining and Ubering and lifting, I ended up paying off that $40,000 in consumer debt in 18 months and was debt-free. And there was no better feeling.
Well done. Okay, so your degree, nothing to do with finance.
No, I got a communication degree. I thought I was going to go into like media and film and journalism. That's all the stuff I loved. Little did I know I'd be on the other side of the camera instead of behind it. And so the thing that is the thread through all of it is I've always loved and appreciated and respected and admired those who share incredible messages in creative ways that impact right. people. And so I get to do that now, but with money, because these principles changed my life. It helped me go from mm-hmm. broke to now household net worth millionaires with my wife and I. And I didn't think it was possible for me, let alone in 10 years, because I was just the average George. I didn't grow up with money. I didn't have a trust fund. I wasn't handed anything. I had to just work my butt for it. But it gave me hope that if I can do it, anyone can.
So when you started working at Ramsey Solutions, and now your personality, does everyone ask you financial questions? Are you at like Thanksgiving and people are asking you, or your school or church and people are coming up just drilling you with questions? How does that work now that you're a Ramsey personality?
You know, the coworkers surprisingly don't ask many questions. I think they have, you know, they've got Jade Warshaw and Dave Ramsey. So they're like, we'll save George, that we'll spare him. But family, I've learned to not talk about it more than I have to learn to talk about it. So unless they ask me, I don't bring up finances.
That's smart.
It's like a hot button issue in my direct family. But outside of that, I do have a lot of friends, people from high school or college or old buddies. They're messaging me on Facebook and sending me the text of like, hey, man, like, just wanted to know, like, am I doing this the right way? Would you advise anything? And so it always means the world when someone, you know, even Dr. John Deloney like called me up and he's like, hey, dude, I'm at a date night with my wife. We've got this financial question. I felt like he was phoning a friend on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. It was a huge honor. And so it does happen from time to time. But generally, it's strangers on the internet that I want to like send me a 14 paragraph DM. And I'm like, hey, you got to call the Ramsey Show. I yes. wish I could help you in the DMs, but it's difficult.
Okay, so don't be concerned if you get a text message or something from my wife saying, hey, my husband's driving me nuts with these Christmas returns, right? Can you talk to him?
Exactly.
Some people can't be helped, Steph. You know, there's only so much I can
do.
I can't change a person.
Thanks,
but I would be happy to help you guys anytime.
All right, Steph, I'm going to test you again here. What is your favorite book of all time?
Obviously, it's the Bible, Kevin.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Very good. This time, you didn't say the book we wrote called You Met Her Where.
But it's still a really good book.
That is true.
And it would make a great gift for friends or relatives on their birthday or for Christmas.
Friends, you can order your copy of our book titled You Met Her Where at kevinandsteph.com. And we will make sure to personally sign a copy for you or whoever you want.
And as always, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
Okay, George, I have worked for a few Fortune 500 companies. So I've got experience working with large companies. I'm fascinated by Ramsey Solutions because Jade, when we were talking to her, she said that the Ramsey Solutions has like several hundred people there at your home office in Tennessee, which I didn't realize it was that big. So I'm just thinking, I'm putting myself in your shoes, like if I'm working there versus JPMorgan Chase, what it's like. Okay, so I've got a handful of questions here, and you confirm if any of these are true.
Confirm or deny.
Yes, during your interview, during the interview process at Ramsey Solutions, do they pull your credit report right in front of you and walk through your personal finances to see what it is?
No, I wish. There has been a narrative of that, like outside. People are like, I heard they check your wallet every time you walk in the door to see. No, there was no credit report checking. There was no wallet checking. It's a lot of the honor system around here. The one thing that they do dig into, and I think is a really cool way to make sure that you're going to be a fit here, is they have you do a personal budget. A very basic bare bones. They're not wondering what your Netflix subscription costs. It's just going, hey, we want to make sure that your personal finances align with what we can pay you to be here and that you're not going to be in a lurch by taking this position.
So it's
a really cool, some people are doing it for the first time and it's a real eye opener for them to do the budget. And so it's not like a test. There's no right or wrong answers here. Every time in the cafeteria, I like to check to see what kind of card people are using, you know, as they swipe to pay for their lunch. But so far I have not caught anyone trying to swipe the Capital One. Everyone is very, they actually practice what they preach. And if they work here, they believe in the principles. And that is something we ask, is how have these principles affected your life? Like, do you believe in this mission? Because if we tell people not to use credit cards and then we're hypocrites inside this building, we lose all the trust. And so when you check my phone and wallet, I own one debit card and a license. It's a very simple life and I love it. But people are always like, wait, you really don't have a credit card? Like, I know you tell people to not, but you don't? Well, you're missing out on the miles and points. And I'm like, bro, you really don't get it, do you? Like, I believe this stuff. I have drank the Kool-Aid and it is good. And you've a better life is on the other side.
See, that was my question for you. Like, in the cafeteria, there are credit card machines. I didn't know if you guys all had to pay cash for the
banks. Are you required to pay with cash?
Yes.
Well, you know, the machines, they'll take debit cards. And so while some people do pay with cash, we will always accept cash. I use Apple Pay. To be honest with you, my debit card is loaded up, and so I double tap on my phone while carrying, you know, the pizza, and I move on with my day. I have seen the old school folks who got the envelopes out because they're really doing it. They're in baby step two, trying to get out of the debt. They've got $50 to spend on lunch this week. They're doing it, and a lot of people bring their lunch. To be fair, the line just to the microwave is long here because we practice what we preach again, and people go, it's cheaper to bring food from home, even though the cafeteria is a killer deal. You guys should come by sometime.
Okay, do you have vending machines in your offices?
You know, we don't have vending machines, but the cafeteria, we have like, you know, a whole wall of different sodas and drinks and all of that and snacks, that you know, chips and all of that. So there's no old school vending machine, but you just kind of grab it and pay for it and move on with your day. And we do have free coffee here. If you're inquiring minds, we do offer free coffee and a great coffee bar where you can buy, you know, fancy lattes and all that.
I'm shocked you have a cafeteria. I honestly thought you may not, because it was going to force everybody to bring in their own lunch and bring in their own coffee. So I'm actually impressed you have your own cafeteria there.
We stepped it up. As we built this giant headquarters, we were like, listen, our team members beforehand, I remember those days, we were all scattered, traveling around to grab some lunch and come back and eat at our desk. Now we have an amazing cafeteria staff that's run by a third party. So it's not our team cooking back there. And so I respect that. I love it. I haven't brought a PB&J in a long time, I'll be honest with you.
Are you so thankful you no longer have to bring a PB&J?
Right.
It's one of the reasons my wife and I had a goal to get out of debt, to get the house paid off. We wanted to have the margin to enjoy life and have a little more time. And part of that is we eat out a little bit more. I eat in the cafeteria for lunch. You know, she's not packing me a little lunch every day, although that would be adorable. But we have a 3.5-month-old, so I feel like that's a lot to ask of her right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I was thinking this out loud because this happens a lot in non-Ramsey Solutions organizations. If you happen to tell a coworker that you booked a vacation using credit card points, is that a fireable offense at Ramsey Solutions? How does that work?
Oh man, now that's a good question. I don't know if I can confirm or deny that. I think there would be a conversation if you brought that up.
I bet there would be.
You know, I haven't heard that situation come up with the HR where they're like, hey, we had to bring him in because he mentioned he bought it with the credit. Like, I don't think it's that legalistic, but I do think there would be a conversation to go like, hey, man, are you bought in? Like, do you really believe this stuff? Because we heard you're buying vacations with credit card points over here. People at work here, it's not like they come in and they have to be debt-free to work here.
Right.
So people come in with all different situations. So right. In my mind, I'd go, wait, were these credit card points before he worked here? Did he rack them up while he was here? You know, I'd start to get wishbone on the case and get to the bottom of this to figure out the real situation. But the truth is, a lot of spouses, you know, I can't guarantee that every spouse from every team member at Ramsey Solutions is 100% on board. That's a lot true. To ask, but yes. Many of them are. I know mine is because she works here at Ramsey too. So that's a whole nother love story.
Okay, last one. You guys are in the parking lot. Somebody rolls in with a new car. You're like, those are new tags. Yes. Do you start asking, like, is this a brand new car? Is this a brand new used car?
Is there a pressure?
Did you buy cash for this car?
To tell people I did not take a loan out for this car.
Oh, you guys are asking the real questions. Okay, to be honest with you, I have had that thought because I'm nosy and I have a dark curiosity. So when I see a team member, I'm like, is their spouse independently wealthy? Because I know they can't be making that much. They're not making Beamer money. And so there is always that thought. But again, like, I always assume the best and I give them the benefit of the doubt. And some of their spouses, you know, they may be in a financial spot where they can do it and they do it with cash. I couldn't live with that if I took out a car loan and then drove up to work in that vehicle and went to work helping people avoid car loans. Like, that just hurts my brain to think about. So I have not heard any stories of people actively taking out car loans while they've worked here. The ones I've talked to are all like, I'm working on getting rid of the car loan. You know, I started 6 months ago. We're working on baby step two. So those are the stories I've heard.
But George, here's what's weird. Every other organization, nobody cares. If you get a car, it's like, oh my gosh, let's go
cool
for a test
car.
Drive.
Let's go for a test drive.
Yes.
Nobody is thinking like, oh my gosh, I wonder if they pay with cash for this. Or did they take, like, that never crosses anybody's minds.
That's true.
Why
we are
like
a bunch of nerds in the Ramsey bubble.
Completely different world.
But in a very cool way.
Yes.
It's very rock and roll. When you look across a parking lot and you're like, these are all paid for cars, baby. No one in this building even has a credit card in their wallet. Like, we all admit this is a weird place to work. Like, we talk about how we breathe rare air here. And when people visit us from all over the country, they feel it. There's a certain sort of presence to it all. When you walk in, you go, this place is different, man. This is countercultural. And that's what Dave has been building for 30 years. And he's worked hard to protect that because this mission is too important to have people just come here for a job and a job when they don't actually believe in what we teach.
Is there a sense of freedom when you walk into your building?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you think about the lives that we're impacting, the legacies that just the team members are creating, the ripple effect of just 1,000 people that work here becoming debt-free, paying off their homes, investing for the future, their kids aren't going to go to college with debt. I mean, the generational effect on that blows my mind. But then also, people visit from all over the country, and we meet them in the lobby every day as we host the Ramsey Show, and they're telling us their stories, and they're going, hey, we're Baby Steps millionaires. We never thought we'd be here. All these 5 kids, we cash flowed their college education. And it's just like, this is crazy that these people just exist all around us in a world that's filled with debt and stress and anxiety and divorce. And we get to meet these people who are actively building a better life for themselves.
Steph, what is one of the most asked questions we get about tell us a good story?
Do I really get that excited?
Besides that one.
Oh, how do we get all these incredible guests?
Correct. Yes. And some of our best conversations have been with guests who our listeners have reached out to us and said, you should talk to this person. To name just a few, Nick Vujicic, Coach Tom Ryan, Carol Mutika were all recommendations from our listeners.
So if there's someone you would like us to interview and think they might be a great fit for Tell Us a Good Story, please let us know at kevinandsteph.com. You don't even have to personally know them.
True, but do me a favor. Before you submit their names, please make sure they are still alive. That has actually happened, and it is super hard for me to find their contact information.
But regardless, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
Okay, so George, for all of our guests, I like to give a list of fun facts to let listeners know what you've done, what you've accomplished, a little bit about yourself. And Steph is not aware of any of these, so you're going to see her genuine reaction to these. So please let me know if I miss on any of these. Just keep me honest on this, okay? All right, Steph, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact number one. George started at Ramsey Solutions in 2013. Mm-hmm. He went from a temp, like you said, at Ramsey Solutions to speaking at their live events, co-hosting the Ramsey Show, co-hosting Smart Money Happy Hour podcast, plus hosting his own YouTube channel. The Ramsey Show, Steph, is America's second largest syndicated radio show.
Wow.
So, first off, well done, George.
That's amazing.
I can't take much credit for that one, but thank you. It's an honor to stand on Dave's shoulders.
Amazing what you've done in 10 years, right? To go from temp to co-hosting. So what's scarier, the first time on stage at one of these live events, or the first time sitting next to Dave taking live radio calls.
Oh my goodness. Well, just audience wise, when you think about how many listeners are listening live, like you don't feel the pressure because there's no people right there necessarily watching.
True.
But in your mind, you're like, millions of people are listening right now. And if you screw this up, this is your last day on air. With the live event, you do get the more, you know, visceral reaction from the 5,000 people. Yeah. So I remember kind of auditioning to be a host at a live event, and Ken Coleman's in the background and he's cheering me on because I'm like, Ken needs me to take over. And Dave, the first thing Dave does when he walks on stage, he walks up like a dad and he fixed my rumpled suit collar that was all jangled. And I was like, I'm not doing it so far. Like before the event even starts, Dave is having to fix my attire because it's so unprofessional. And so that was it was a rough day. I wouldn't say I nailed it, but I also didn't bomb either because they let me take the job and I got better with every single event we did. But there was a fear, but I also was more comfortable on stage. I had a lot of stage experience being a musician and hosting some other things. But radio was a different beast for me because you don't really have the reaction of the crowd. You don't have your physical movement. It's all about what you're saying and how you're connecting. And so you're much more aware of every single word going into that microphone.
When you are talking and there's an audience member, have you ever had like any hecklers where you're like stating your facts and they're like, lies, or that's not right? Have you ever had to deal with anything like that?
Oh, wow. You know, live events, you never know, because people that go to live events are a little bit weird anyways. You know, if you're going to like a financial live event on a Saturday, you know, that's a different kind of person. And so naturally you get some folks that want to yell things at you. And so I learned early on, because I used to, when I was 15 years old, I would play, you know, acoustic guitar sets in Starbucks, and I was a songwriter. And I learned very quickly how to deal with hecklers. And the key is, number one, with bullies, and that was even earlier, growing up with bullies, I learned you get to the joke first before they do, because it deflates them. You steal their thunder. You know, when you can make the short joke before they do with confidence, they're like, dang it, what do I do now? He took my move. And so I found with hecklers, you just sort of play into it or ignore them, and you don't feed the trolls. That's what I've learned in the comment section, live on stage. Never feed the trolls. It's what they want. So I always do the opposite of what they want, and usually that tends to shut it down.
Okay, have you had any issues with Dave where you said something, you gave financial advice, and he's like, that was dumb, George. Totally disagree with that. Like, have you had any issues with that?
Dave is not shy about just letting you know you're wrong live on air. So there's been moments like that, and he's very kind about it. Like, he'll kind of let you talk, and he's like, regardless of what George said, here's what you need to be doing. There was one time, though, where my filter wasn't working great, and I'll tell you this story because it's a funny one. It was live on air, so I'm sure it's still on YouTube somewhere. We were heading into the break, and one of Dave's great motivational pieces is, if I can get control of that guy in the mirror, he can be skinny and rich. My filter wasn't working that day, so I instantly responded, well, Dave, you're one for two. And it took him a second to realize what I had just said, and he just looked at me and just like daggers in the eyes, but we went to break, so I was like, whew, there was no time for him to respond. It was great, and we had a good laugh about it. So sometimes I like to poke the bear.
Yes.
To your boss. Oh.
I love it.
All right, Steph, next fun fact here. George, I'm jealous of you in this regard because he has met some incredible people as a Ramsey personality. Mm-hmm. He has pictures on his Instagram of meeting and connecting with the stud Navy SEAL, Jocko. And our favorite comedian, Nate
Bargatze! Yeah. No!
So, we finally impressed Steph.
Nate Bargatze. Oh, George, love that man.
Okay, what was that like? I'm sure that's probably one of the pinch me moments since you've been a personality.
Yeah, there's a funny story there. I'll tell you. I don't know that anyone knows this, or I should even be saying this, but it was funny because we were excited when we heard, like, hey, we could get Nate Bargatze on the show, on the Ramsey show. And Ken Coleman and I had this brilliant idea of, like, what if Nate's on with us? We take financial calls and Nate is giving advice to these people. We're like, this is brilliant radio.
Yes. I know where this is going.
So then our producer, James, is like, hey, I need to make sure that Nate's team knows that, like, Dave isn't going to be there that day. And so this is not a knock on Nate, but I think they found out, like, hey, Dave's not going to be there. Do you want to reschedule to when Dave is there? And they went like, yeah, oh, absolutely. We'd rather have Dave there. And so we didn't get this amazing opportunity to have Nate on taking financial calls. It was a very standard but fun interview with Dave. But he was such a nice guy. He is exactly who he seems like he is. Like, when I met him, he was like just like slumped down on the green room couch, just staring off in the distance and just fully Nate right down here. Very dry, but very dry, gregarious, sweet guy.
So that's his personality off stage.
Exactly. Yeah. Really. He is the same guy, and he just turns that little notch on to go full Nate, where he's, you know, goofing around in the driest way, telling the funniest stories.
Yes.
But Nate's a super nice guy. Jocko, frightening, but also very kind.
Like, good. To know that, you know, he could kill you.
Oh, yeah.
And you would never see your body again. Like that's who you're talking
don't
to.
Don't look at him in the eyes.
Yep. Don't do it. Don't
so
take him
I
off.
Was an honor to just like flex next to him and then realize I got some work to do.
So, George, of course, I saw the interview with Nate Bargatze. And immediately when it came up with Dave Ramsey, I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, does he know he's going to get asked financial questions on this? Like, this doesn't seem like a good fit. And so I watched it and I busted out laughing because he talked about how he moved Dave Ramsey, right? Like 20 years ago when he was a mover and stuff. And then Ken tried to ask him an actual financial question. And immediately I'm like, okay, this isn't going to go well. And Nate's like, I don't know. Like, my wife does all paying the bills. Like, I don't even know what bank we have. Like, I should ask my wife. And then, like, that was the end of the interview. Like, done. Okay, that's enough financial questions for him. Thanks for being here.
That's why I thought it'd be so funny. Because Nate notoriously loves to be like, I have no clue what I'm doing.
No
my
idea.
Wife is the adult.
No clue.
I just live here.
Yes.
And so we thought, I still think there's room for that. So, Nate, if you're listening, I know you're a big fan of Tell Us a Good Story. Please come on the Ramsey Show. Come back with us. We'd love to have you.
If you like what you hear, please tell someone about us. As soon as this episode is over, go tell your spouse, your closest friend, a parent, a coworker, or share one of our posts on social media.
However, if you don't like what you're hearing, please do not.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anybody.
Just disregard this message.
Don't worry about
forget
it.
Forget about us.
Yep.
Go on with your merry day.
And to get more information about us or our entire catalog of episodes, be sure to check us out at kevinandsteph.com. Thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
All right, final fun fact. After 10 years at Ramsey Solutions and one painstaking year of writing, George is now the proud author of his first book, titled Breaking Free from Broke, The Ultimate Guide to More Money and Less Stress. So, George, can you please tell us more about your new book?
Absolutely. As you said, it was painstaking. I didn't know how hard it was to write a book because it's always like a dream for any author to be like, I'm going to write a book. That's going to be so fun. And then you sit down in front of a Microsoft Word doc and you're like, I'm not that smart or creative or funny. Why am I doing this? Like existential crisis every time you sit down to write. But day after day, evening after evening, weekend after weekend, I toiled to try to make the most creative, fun, engaging, informative, well-researched book I could that really not only shared my story of going from broke to millionaire, but hit every single objection I've heard over my 10 years here at Ramsey, over the last few years hosting the Ramsey Show, talking to people. I really wanted to try to create a paradigm shift where they could unplug from this money matrix that we found ourselves in and unplug from this debt system. And so it's not just a get out of debt book. It's a, hey, if you're willing to buck this financial system and ditch the credit score and the credit cards and get out of the auto loan debt once and for all and get a house the right way with the right kind of mortgage and not fall for the investing traps, you can build wealth and have so much more peace and joy and margin and options and meaning than ever before. And so that's the promise of the book, and I think we delivered on it, and we're so excited to get this out in the world in January.
Oh.
Well, listeners, for more information about George, you can go to his Instagram page, which is at George Camel. The website, you can just type in georgecamel.com and the Ramsey
with a K.
Solutions page.
That's everyone who goes, like, camel like the animal? I'm like, yes, but with a K. It's an Arabic word. That's your last fun fact. It's an actual Arabic word that means whole, complete, or perfect. Camel.
Oh,
very nice.
Use that at your next dinner party / Arabic trivia night.
Oh, of course. We have lots of those.
So many.
And folks, you can pre-order the book at RamseySolutions.com, and then it'll be out January 16th, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes, and it's only $20 to pre-order it, and you'll get the hard copy.
Well,
that's
folks,
awesome.
We will put links in our show notes so you can click on it and go right to those pages so you can pre-order that. Well, George, I absolutely love your personality. This was fantastic. Thank you so much for saying yes to us here on Tell Us a Good Story.
You guys are so fun. I just want to hang out with you guys all the time.
Don't say that because we'll be down in Tennessee, like knocking on your door.
We'll be in the Ramsey hallway there.
If all podcast interviews were like this, I would do them all day long. You guys just made it so fun. It was so personal. And you did your homework at such a level that I'm like, this guy knows more about me than I know about me. What's he going to pull? He's like, you tweeted this back in 2009. I want to bring this. Let's get the screenshot up. I'm like, oh, gosh, what did I say? And if you're ever in Nashville, come by and see us. We'd love to have you guys.
Oh, we absolutely
would love that. We absolutely
will.
Thank you. All right,
thank you again.
Thanks,
God bless.
George.
All right, have a good one, guys.
Friends, thank you for listening to this episode of Tell Us a Good Story.
For additional content and longer episodes, you can go to our website at kevinandsteph.com or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
And don't forget, you can catch us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. right here on the AM/FM 24/7 network. Thank you for listening to
Tell Us a Good Story.